I have to apologize. Last week for Kisetse, I didn't say a shear. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and the technicalities simply defeated me. It's so difficult where to record, how to get it sent. I just gave up. But this week, Kisova, I'd like to think a little bit of Kisetse also. What's on my mind is the Shmichus HaPashias between the Chios Amolek at the end of Kisetse and the Pasha Bikurim at the beginning of Kisova. So let's think a little bit about that. And I have to take this opportunity of making a public vidui to confess the absolute, total, complete, and absolutely unforgivable superficiality with which I guess all of us, but I can speak only for myself, we sometimes learn, and I'm just flabbergasted about how silly I was. Let me explain to you the background. I'm working just now a little bit. I'm trying to understand whether we can isolate a system for Rashi and his Peirush on Chumash. That's what I'm trying to work on at the moment. So specifically, the Midrashim, which Rashi brings, it's an interesting shaila. Does he have what is the system by which he chooses these Midrashim over those Midrashim? It doesn't take much learning to see that many times when Rashi brings Midrashim, there are other Midrashim, and he could have brought those too, so it seems. So Rashi made a choice. These are the ones I'm going to cite. These ones I'm not going to cite. Now, what is the mania? What is it that made Rashi choose these over those? I don't know. I don't know enough. Maybe there isn't one single klal. Maybe there are different circumstances in each particular case which persuaded Rashi to do this rather than that. I don't know. I can't tell you. But one thing which I did think about was this question. Did Rashi have an educational purpose in writing his Peirush on Chumash? I mean, was he only interested in helping us through the text to try and understand what the pshat in the psukim is? Of course, that's a very, very wide idea, and now's not the time to go into details of that. But is it essentially a Peirush, or did Rashi also have an educational purpose in mind, that by writing this Peirush, perhaps he understood, I don't think he could have realized what kind of an impact this Peirush would have on Klal Yisrael, but he probably understood that it was going to be an important part of people's lives, so maybe he slipped in commercials, we would say. In other words, he would put in those Midrashim which can serve as significant chinuch tools to be mechanech Klal Yisrael. After all, his Peirush was going to be learned not only by big talmidei chachamim, but also by the hamoyin am, even by children. That's how it turned out. So maybe that's what Rashi wanted to do, to slip in certain limudim which are important in the chinuch of all of us. Was that a chelek of his system by which he chose Midrashim, that he would choose those Midrashim which have the most chinuch potential? So I thought that right at the beginning I was doing the psukim, really the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereshis Bore Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haoretz. So everybody knows that Rashi says Ein HaMikra Zeh Oimer Elot Hasheni, that what does it mean? It means Bishvil Reishis, Bishvil Yisroel Shenikru Reishis, and Bishvil the Torah Shenikras Reishis. So Rashi is telling us right at the beginning, in the first Rashi, that the creation of the world was Bishvil Yisroel and Bishvil the Torah. So right away, if you see the Midrashim over there, you ask a question, and that is that the Midrashim also say that the Tumah and Maisa and Bikurim are also called Reishis, and that's also a reason why the world was created. Here's the Medrash from Bereshis Rabba. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Masna Omer, b'schus gimel devorim nivro ha'olam, b'schus chalo, b'schus maishros, b'schus bikurim. Umatam, Bereshis Bore Elokem, Vein Reshis Elochala, Shneva Reshis Arisa Sechem, Vein Reshis Elomaisras, Huma Shoma Reshis Degoncha, Vein Reshis Elobikurem, Shneva Reshis Bikure Admosechem. So it doesn't only say Bishvil Yisroel and Bishvil HaTorah. It also says Chalo Maisros and Bikurim. No, so why doesn't Rashi bring that? So in my enormous wisdom, I said, aha, must be that Rashi wanted to educate us, give us some musar, give us some hashkofas, and he told us, you know what, Bishvil Yisroel Shnikoreshes, but Bishvil HaTorah Shnikoreshes, but what are we going to learn from the fact that Bikurim is Reshes, and Truma is Reshes, and Maisa is Reshes, and the Rebbeinu Shem created the world in the shus of those things? There's nothing much to learn from there. So that's why Rashi doesn't bring it. I'm blushing as I'm saying this over. The total unforgivable superficiality of that kind of thinking, superficiality of that kind of thinking, it just boggles the mind. I'll tell you now what I really think the MS is. And against the background of something which I really didn't understand, and now I think I understand a whole lot better, and that is, I often wondered, like here we have the last two mitzvahs of the Torah. Later on you have Ksiva Sefer Torah, but that's in a different context over there in Vayelach. For practical purposes, these are the last mitzvahs. Bikurim and the beer of Thomas and Maestros at the end of the 3 years, by the third year. So I often wondered to myself, why is that an appropriate ending to the whole Torah? You know, Torah is Hayroah. Torah is the means of telling us, that's the Rav Yitzchak at the beginning of the Torah, that Lo Yotzorech LaHashchil Es HaTorah Ela MaChodesh Hazeh, because the Torah is a sefer of mitzvahs, of hadrocha, of how we are to live Jewish lives. So I often wondered, like, why end the series of mitzvahs, which are really the body of the Torah, with these seemingly peripheral mitzvahs? Okay, there's a mitzvah of Bikurim, there's a mitzvah of Trumas, a Maislos, very nice. I would have thought to myself, if I would have been consulted, I would have said, look, why don't you finish the mitzvahs, make the last mitzvah in the Torah something really klolistic, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, something like that. In other words, this is it, this is the grand finale of the Torah. Like, why choose two such totally seemingly peripheral mitzvahs to end up the Torah? And I'm moider misvade. Well, I've said it enough now. It's just we have to think more. We have to think more. We're at least I am a non-thinking generation. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you a lot. I'll read from the Rambam how the bringing of the Bikurim took place. So it's really a very, very, very interesting description. Just take a couple of minutes. This is in the fourth perek of Hilchos Bikurim. So the Rambam writes like this: Ketzad Malin es haBikurim. So first he talks about how they all gather together so that they should all go up together. Okay. So they go to the various cities, Uboim Vilonim Berchhoiva Shel Ir, Velo Yikansu Lebotem, Mipnei Oyel Hatomu, Hashasholim, things shouldn't become Tome, Uveshacha, when they're ready to move, Hamamune Oyma Kumu Venale Tzion El Hashem Elokeinu, Vashoy Hoylech Lifneim, Ukoronov Mitsupo Zohov, Vatoro Shel Zayas Beroyshoi, Lohidia Shapikurim Meshiva Haminem, והחול אל מכה לפניהם, the music, עד שהם מגיעים קורוב לירושלים. והם הולכים בכל הדרך וקוירם, סומכתי באומרים לי, בייס השם נלך. ולא יהיו מהלכים כל היום אלו שתי יודס בלבד. They took it slowly. More and more people should see them come by and to celebrate with them. הגיעו קורוב לירושלים, שולחו לפניהם שלוחם להודיע לאנשי ירושלים ואיתרו את ביקוריהם ופרסו אוסם. They decorated them. והם הויו להם לך ויובש. All right, the way they organize it, it's not so important. So, then what happens? The people come towards Yerushalayim and pachos v'hasagonim v'hagizborim yotzem likrosam Yerushalayim. All the important people came out from Yerushalayim to meet them. U'kishiyichnasu kulam b'shar Yerushalayim yaschilu likros oimdois hoyu ragleinu b'shorayich Yerushalayim. Something is happening over here. Kol bale umnius shiv Yerushalayim oimdem lifneim v'shoyalem b'shloimem acheinu anshei mokom ploini bosem b'sholem v'heim harchem b'soich Yerushalayim v'acholel make lifneim ad shehem magiyem lahar habayis. Higiu lahar habayis noitel kol echot v'echot salo al ksefoi. They schlep it themselves. At this point already nobody else can carry it for them. V'oimrim. You know what they say? Hallelujah, hallelujah, el b'kotshoi. At kol ha'neshomot hallelujah, hallelujah. V'heim b'halchem b'har habayis v'koirim ad shemagia l'azoro. Higiu l'azoro dibru ha'levim b'shir aramimcho Hashem kitilisoni. What a description this is. Like, what is going on over here? Bikurim is a mitzvah. Okay, so you're supposed to bring your bikurim to Yerushalayim. You're supposed to bring Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim also. They don't make that kind of a fuss by Maaseh Sheni. But what's going on over here? You know, what struck me most in this description, it's an unbelievable description, but what struck me most in that description is what they finally said. Higiu lahar habayis. Neutral kol echot ve'echot salo al ksefer ve'omrim hallelujah hallelujah el b'kotshoi ad kol ha'neshomot hallelujah hallelujah. You know, that boggles the mind. That's the last mizmor in Sefer Tehillim, the last mizmor. And in these shiurim, I think I've quoted before what Rav Soloveitchik, zichrono livracha, used to say about this mizmor. Such a moiradika ha'ora. What does the mizmah say? Hallelujah, hallelujah, b'kotcha, hallelujah, b'riki ha'uza, hallelujah, b'kurosa, hallelujah, k'rav gudla, hallelujah, b'seik ha'shofa, hallelujah, b'nevel v'china, hallelujah, b'sof ha'mochol, hallelujah, b'min ha'ugav, hallelujah, b'tilsle shoma, hallelujah, b'tilsle sarua. It's a hillel with instruments, not with words. At the end of Sefer Tehillim, there's a whole of Sefer Tehillim, 149 krokim of Tehillim. And now, number 150, full of shevach, full of tefillah, full of his roimimus, of saying, David HaMelech, Tolas v'la'ish, ma tolas, ein koicho ele befiv, Tehillim was Rebaios, David HaMelech's koyach befiv, the tefillah, the tachanunim, all the various lashonos which go into Tehillim. And what is the peak of Tehillim? What is the absolute end of Tehillim? Silence. It's instruments. I have nothing to say. All I can do is to play instruments. Halu b'seik ha'shofa, b'nevel v'chinah, b'sof ha'mocho, minim v'ugov. L'cho dumiyo Tehillah. That the peak of Sefer Tehillim is to stop talking and praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, as far as I'm concerned, in silence. Let the instruments talk. There I'm not involved at all. I'm just silent. L'cho dumiyo Tehillah. Silence, just being. Just being a Yid. That is the Ikar Tehillah. That's a Meirdik insight. The last Sefer, the last Perek in Sefer Tehillim is silence. It's unbelievable when you think about it. Telas v'la'ish koichos bepeh, Sefer Tehillim. And the peak of speech is silence. And really, and that is the mizmah that they chose over here when they brought the, finally came to the Harabais. They are by the Beis HaMikdash. They're where they, this whole techas, this whole ceremony, this, the cholel and the going and the talking and the publicity, everything. What does it end up with the last perek in Tehillim? He's taking his life onto his shoulders. He says, here I am. V'omrim, hallelujah el b'kotshoi til koil ha'neshama hallelujah. Kol neshima, neshima. I don't need to say anything. I don't need to say anything. I just need to be. I need to breathe. This is my existence. My existence is supposed to be a hillel to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that I accomplish by being silent. let the instruments talk. Ah, it's just melody. And here was pontificating and saying, well, the reason why the Rabbeinu Shem didn't, why Rashi didn't choose to say Bikurim, which are called Reishis, Trumas, Maisas, yep, well, because they're not such musadik, it just boggles the mind. It really, really boggles the mind. But in order to understand how boggling the mind is, it means what the toimius of my ignorance was, just to read to you, I'm reading this from this Mimamakim, you will have heard like in the last few months, it's such a beautiful collection, I don't know, whatever it is, it just brings things together very wonderfully, and from my point of view, very wonderfully. So he brings here the Maharal, when he talks about Bikurim, he brings the Maharal, what the Indian is of the Reishis. So the Maharal says in Or Chodesh, Yisroel Nikru Reishis, Mipnei Shehem Reishis HaMachshava, K'moy Mishu Zora Tevua, Reishis Machshavose Hu Bishvil HaTevua, Loi Bishvil HaKash. The Tevua is called Reishis, Reishis Tevua Sai, the wheat that you're growing, that's the Reishis, that's what you're thinking about. You're not thinking about the straw, that's only a means of bringing it about. Mipnei Shehem Reishis HaMachshava, K'moy Mishu Zora Tevua, Reishis Machshavose Hu Bishvil HaTevua, Loi Bishvil HaKash. ולכך אמרו במדרש, מחשבוסן של ישראל קודמו לכל העולם, שנאמר ברשס בורא אלוקים, ואין רשס אלו ישראל, שנאמר קודש ישראל השם רשס תבוא עשה, כלומר, האדם שהוא זרע, מחשבוסן על התבוא, לא על הקש, כי הקש אחר שהוציא את התבואה זורק את הקש, ונוצן את התבואה בעצה, וכך השם יזבורך שבורא את העולם ברואי בשביל ישראל, ובשבילם העולם קיים, וכיוון שבשבילם קיים, גם כן הם קיום הם כל ימי העולם, אבל המולק הוא קש כדכסיב, והיו בעזר לקש אינסון. And then he brings Rav Tzadok, Adere Zeh Koysef Rav Tzadok HaKoyen in Resise Laila, Ois Lamed Zayin, Yisroel Reishis Tevu Aso, Shehem Tachlis HaMechuvan Bibriya, V'Hatachlis Nikreis Reishis, Shesoif Masei B'Machashover Tefillah. It just boggles the mind. That is what the Pshat is, and it never occurred to me to ask myself, so why is Bikurim called Reishis? The answer is because in Bikurim and in the other Matnas Kohanim, each in its own way, I don't know enough to be able to be masve in detail what the Reishis function of Trume, Meisre, but we're learning Bikurim now, so let's deal with Bikurim. This Reishis, that this is the Reishis, Soif Meisre Machashova Tchila, that's the Machashova Tchila of the Briyas Olam, which will Bikurim. Let Yidden come and take the Bikurim, the most beloved part of their produce, their farmers, their working, and they're breaking their backs, and you know, it's hard to be a farmer. And they're doing it, and the very first where the Yetzirah is to say, wow, this is it, I'm bringing this into my house, and I'm going to eat these luscious grapes, or whatever it is. You bring them to Yerushalayim, you bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, you're touching up your life, the rest is straw. This is what it's all about. The Rabbeinu Shalom had in mind that we should, when he created the world, Bereshis Bore Elohim, Bishvil Bikurim Shenikru Reshis, there's no bigger Musa than that. There's no bigger Musa than that in the world. That is what our lives are supposed to be. That whatever we have, that the goal should be to bring it to Yerushalayim, to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to dedicate our lives, the symbolism of the fact that they had to take the tenor onto their shoulder all the way to Yerushalayim. The Rambam says earlier, you're allowed to give it to somebody else to carry, maybe it's too hard to carry, but here, even if you're a Melech Yisrael, the most mechubedik person in the world, you have to schlep it on your shoulder. I'm coming with all my burdens, all my schlepping, I've got it on my shoulder, and I'm huffing and I'm puffing because it's heavy, and I'm schlepping it like a portion to air, but Rabbeinu Shalom, here I come. This is who I am. This is symbolic of my accomplishments in life. these bikurim which I'm bringing. And you know where I'm bringing them. I'm not bringing them into my dining room. I'm bringing them to you, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. It just boggles the mind, the significance of this mitzvah. The truth is that one can say a lot more about this and go into various other details, but there's no point in making the shiur so much longer. It's just this to be soifeg, the enormous amkus of what is going on over here, of what is going on over here, that the bishvil bikurim shenikru reishas. So, what are we going to do? So why did Rashi choose Dafka Bishvil Yisroel Shenikru Reishas and Bishvil HaToyra Shenikras Reishas? Why Taka didn't he bring Bishvil Bikurim, Bishvil Trumas, or Bishvil Maestros? That's a perfectly legitimate Medrash. It's a Medrash in Bereishas Rabbah. So here, Aleph Talib, right at the beginning of Bereishas Rabbah, just where it says Bishvil Yisroel Shenikru Reishas and Bishvil HaToyra Shenikru Reishas, it also says Bishvil Bikurim Shenikru Reishas. No. So then what's the problem? Why couldn't Rashi bring that? Why did he make the decision? So what I think now, I'll tell you what I think now. Well, maybe that's a little too drushy, I don't know. But at the moment, where I am at the moment, sitting over here, trying to share with you the ideas which are suddenly sort of boiling inside me, in contrast to this stupidity where I thought that, well, there's not enough hashkofa in there. I just don't understand it. But the was, you know, why Rashi doesn't bring it? Maybe he didn't have to. The Torah says it. Soif maaseh b'machashova tchila. This is what the whole Torah is leading up to. The last mitzvahs. I asked before, why don't you end the mitzvahs with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? You know, I think that the answer is, the answer, it's a silly thing to say, how do I know what the answer is? But what it's saying to me at the moment is, Soif Maase B'machashov V'Tchilo, this is the Tachlis. You know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it's a mitzvah which is binding on all of us. Great people will be Mekayim it in a more meaningful way than the Poshita Yidden. Let's talk about the Bikurim Yidden. Yeah, the ones who are working in the farm, the peasants, the farm workers, maybe they're not the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, maybe they're not the biggest Oivdei Hashem Be'ofen that they can be made on the Yichud of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Zakreis Avodim. You know, what are they capable of? You know what they're capable of? They're capable of putting the Bikurim, which they love so much, and which every fiber of their being says, well, don't give that away. Let's take that at home. You know, people, sometimes you come into a store, you see a dollar pinned to the wall, the first dollar that they made in that business. People are machshir, the first thing that they brought in. So let's take that into our house. We'll take the next lot to Yerushalayim. These are the push of the peasants, and they're coming with their lives, their heavy, irksome, difficult lives of fighting the elements, kneeling there in the earth and planting and weeding, and where Vase Odomarishan could tell you more about that. Koitz Vedadat Vatsmiachlach, and taking it and taking my life and taking it to Yerushalayim. That is what the Torah is about. Not only for the Kreuzer Talmidei Chachamim, but for the Poshut Yidden. That is what Judaism is about. That is what everything is about. And that's why it's the Soif Maaseh. It was such a stupid question which I asked. Why finish the Torah with such a peripheral mitzvah? That's not a peripheral mitzvah. This is it. This is Yiddishkeit in all its glory and all its wonderfulness. This is it. Bikurim, taking the most precious parts of my life, bringing it to Yerushalayim, taking it to the Beis HaMikdash, then I have become a Yid. And you know what? That is the Yesod against which Amalek is struggling. The Smichus HaPashias between Mechias Amalek in the end of Kiseitze and Bikurim at the beginning of Kisovai, they fit into each other like a hand into a glove. It's that is the whole. Vayovar Amalek, Vayilochem Yisrael Berufidim. Right away, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael is entering history. It's such a moderate gezach. Klal Yisrael is entering history. This Yisrael, this people, who can be defined as the people who, after being nischanach by Kol HaTorah Kula, end up with bringing their Bikurim to Yerushalayim. This people is about to enter history. Who comes along? Amalek. Vayizanev b'cho kol ha-nechesh sholem achareichem. Chazal say, vayizanev b'cho, they cut off the milos, they took out the people who were outside the Anane Kovod, whom the Anane Kovod was poiled because they weren't Goshen Tzadikim, and they cut off their milos, and they threw it klape malo, and they said, Ze mashu b'chato, heloch mashu b'chato, look what a bunch of losers these people are. Yeah, they were thrown out by the honor. This is what you want, you think the Jews are something special. And they didn't understand that Klal Yisrael, Mishneh Nedarim, that even if for some reason there wasn't a Bris Milah, they're still called Mulim. Klal Yisrael, you call Amim Arelim, call Goyim Arelim, Yisrael is Al Elev. But we're not Arelim, we're called Mulim, even if somebody has a Shon for some reason didn't have a Bris. They're fighting against the Musak of Yisrael. There shouldn't be such a thing. There shouldn't be such a thing. There shouldn't be such a thing. They don't want the physical life in our physical world to be uplifted in the way that Klal Yisrael, with its Torah, is able, at least in theory, to lift it up. It's able in practice too. Not all of us are particularly proud of ourselves, but that's what we're here for, and that's what we're trying to do in our modest little kind of ways. But that's what we're trying to do, and Amalek doesn't want that. That's what Amalek wants. So Amalek is fighting against Bikurim. It's Neuro Neuroes. What's going on over here? It's Neuro Neuroes. And I think that's really the pshat and the pasha. The three mitzvahs which were netztavi when we came to Eretz Yisrael is Limnos Lahamelech, Livnos Bes Hamikdash, and to be Machrez Zarei Shel Amalek. Like, what's this idea of being Machrez Zarei Shel Amalek after we came into Eretz Yisrael, after we were Mamane Melech, after we built the Bes Hamikdash? So then comes the time for Mechias Amalek. What's the pshat? The pshat, we don't need them anymore. We've arrived. That is what it is. In other words, and the Bikurim is a symbol of that. The Bikurim is the symbol of when people brought Bikurim, that hadn't been achieved yet. It hadn't been achieved yet. It was in the Bais Rishon, became Chorav, Bais Sheni became Chorav. So it was only a symbol of that. The Bikurim are the V'hoye B'niach Hashem L'kech L'cho M'kol Ayvech Misaviv. That moment when the farmer puts the Bikurim on his shoulder, stands in the Habayis and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, here I am, and you know what, I know who I am. Arami Oved Ovi V'yered Mitzrayim V'yogash Shem M'sei Ma'od. Seder night, that is the vidui of the Bikurim. To understand Jewish history, to understand where we come from, to understand where we're going to. So you know why Rashi didn't say, Bishvil Bereshis Bo Elokim, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reshis. He didn't have to say, the Torah says it. It's the Torah. All you have to do is to read Chumash. Yeah? What does it say? It starts with Bereshis Bo Elokim and it ends with Bikurim. No, Soif Maaseh. The Soif Maaseh, the goal to which everything is leading, is Bikurim. But Machashov Tchila, Rashi doesn't have to tell us what the Chumash says. It says it Beferosh. Of course, I'll tell you something. It took me a while to figure out this Beferosh. Many, 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 many years of Timtum. But the truth is that when you look into Chumash, that is what it is. It's Bikurim, which is the Soif Maaseh. The last of the mitzvahs is Bikurim. And Meister and Truma, the Reishas, this idea of the Tachlis of the Bria, that is how the Torah ends with the Seder of the Mitzvahs. Soif Maaseh v'machashova Tchila. Bereshes, Bishvili Trumashnikoreshes, Bikurumshnikoreshes, Meisashnikoreshes. Rashi brings what the Torah itself does not say in so many words, and that is that Bishvili Srochnikoreshes, Bishvili Torahshnikoreshes. Okay, look, either it's right or wrong, but these are the machshovas which I have over here, and I hope they have some merit, and at least was able to be mekayim that the shir should be both on Kiseitzeh and on Kisovei.